Our gospel for this day is the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter, beginning with the 16th verse. In this passage of scripture, we hear these words from Jesus. In fact, his final words here on earth, known as the words of the Great Commission. There's a strong link between these words and Paul's mission. There's also a strong link here between the mission to which our veterans were called. And so as we listen for these words of Jesus for all of us as followers of Christ, listen for the connecting links in each. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." These are the words of Jesus for us this day. Would you please be seated? As we focus on these words from Jesus for us this day, we do make a connection between these words and the significance of this weekend. And in part to do that, we have a very special greeting from our ELCA bishop, Bishop Eaton, today, which not only is a wonderful greeting, but also she will lead us in a word of prayer. So listen to her greeting and then join together as she prays.
On November 11th, our country will observe Veterans Day. And this year, I invite the ELCA to prayer and action around Veterans Day weekend in support of our military, veterans, and their families. This is built on the 2016 ELCA Churchwide Assembly Memorial, adopted unanimously in support of ministries related to military personnel, veterans, and their family members, and our military chaplains. These are our mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters. Let's reach out to them this Veterans Day. And while we're doing this, may we pray with them and for them. Here is a resource of a prayer book for the armed services. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for the men and women who have served and defended our country and the values of freedom and justice we hold so dear. Help us be mindful of the sacrifices they made and the hardship endured by their families and friends, so that we may never take for granted the privileges they have secured for us. Hear us, we pray, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. So I was talking with one of our veterans this past week, one of our Good Shepherd veterans. It began as an email conversation, and then yesterday we finally were able to talk in person about some of the things that had gone back and forth via email. Wanted to talk to this veteran about the significance of this day and this weekend for him, for our country, for those who had served that he knew of as well. As we talked about flag and faith. We talked about the core and the cross. We talked about tradition and trust. And in his email response to me, he said, there are four words, Gary, that really emerge as significance if I'm going to encapsulate what being a veteran means to me. And maybe it will translate into the lives of others, but this is what it means to me. The first word is camaraderie. So we talked about camaraderie and what that meant, what it meant to have that bond with those you were serving with, and what it meant to feel that bond with others who had served. As I thought about that camaraderie, I couldn't help but think about the Apostle Paul's letters that he wrote on his mission, his missionary journeys. Always, every letter of Paul's begins with words of encouragement, camaraderie, thanking God. For example, in Philippians, his letter to the church in Philippi, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." in all of my prayers for each of you. I always remember with joy what God has been doing in your lives from the first day until now. He goes on to recall the things that they've done together, the camaraderie of being the church of Christ together. Isn't that what the church is all about, that camaraderie? The body of Christ, the fellowship of all believers. Don't we love to sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds"? That camaraderie that a veteran lifted up as an important part of having served the country is an important part of who we are serving our Savior. He said the second word for me is sacrifice. You see, as I think about sacrifice, I think about the sacrifice that we were willing to make, and some paid the ultimate sacrifice. He said, you know, Gary, he said, really, when we signed up, if we enlisted or if we were drafted, either way, it was almost like a blank check. We didn't know what the total cost of that sacrifice was going to be. And I thought about that in relationship to our relationship with Christ. Isn't that what God has done for us when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, although he did know the total cost, didn't he? That's the big difference. The one who was willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice here on earth for our sake and for our salvation, not only for us here on earth, but for all eternity. Yeah, camaraderie and sacrifice. Key words as we lift up our veterans. Key words as we focus on our faith today. Another word that emerged in his email to me was the word pride. He said pride was something he didn't necessarily feel until sometime after he had served. And it wasn't so much prideful as pride for the cause. That was the focus of the pride. Not upon self, but upon what had been accomplished for the sake of the nation and the goals and the values. And finally, he talked about honor. When he talked about honor, he said, again, I didn't really feel the honor until sometime later. But again, it was an honor to serve. I thought about that in terms of our relationship with Christ. Christ came to serve us. And God calls each of us into the honorable opportunity of serving. As I reflected back on some of these things, I went back to pride for a moment, and I thought about, you know, when we think about the pride, we think not in terms of self-pride, again, pride goeth before the fall, but rather we sing hymns like, "In the cross of Christ I glory." That's the source, the focus of the pride. Likewise, the source of the honor is in the service of Christ, even as a veteran would call it an honor to have served country. Yeah, it's a good day to talk about flag and faith. It's a good day to talk about the Corps and Christ. It's a good day to talk about tradition and trust. Important values lifted up by a veteran and by veterans. Important values to be lifted up by followers of Christ like Paul. As I thought about Veterans Day yesterday and I thought about it this weekend, I couldn't help but think about my dad. My dad was a veteran of the Korean conflict. He served his country there, as did oh so many, wherever the location where they served. He was actually in combat, but he never talked to me about the fight. Instead, he talked to me about the focus. And for him, the focus was freedom. When I think about my dad, I can't help but think about my little grandson, Remy. I'm showing you this picture for two reasons. One, because I shamelessly show pictures of him every chance I get. And I love doing it. This picture was taken when we were playing hide-and-seek in an apple orchard a few weeks ago. His great-grandpa Bob would have loved to have played hide-and-seek with him. They would have had so much fun together. And although my dad, Bob, never met his great-grandson, Remy, never met his grandsons, Bobby, who was named after my dad, or Nathan, because my dad died when I was only 13, as a result of a disease he contracted while he was in Korea serving. This isn't Memorial Day, so I'm not memorializing him, but I'm remembering my dad as a veteran today. And in that context, I'm remembering that I believe in my dad's mind's eye, he could picture Remy. I believe that in my dad's mind's eye, he could picture Bobby and Nathan and their future wives and families. Because it was not about the fight. It was about the focus. And the focus was freedom. Freedom so that they could live their lives in freedom. They could worship like we are worshiping today in freedom. It was all about the focus, not the fight. He never, ever talked to me about the fight. But he talked to me about the focus. We had conversations about freedom. He never talked about any glory. Instead, he talked about the goals. And for him, like I believe it was for most of our veterans, the goals were goals of freedom, of fighting for family and for friends and for faith. Those were the focal points. Those were the things for which he was willing, as I trust all of our veterans were willing to sacrifice. That's why the camaraderie, because of a shared goal, a shared focus. That's what bound them together. It's what binds us together as faith followers of Jesus Christ, so that no matter what the sacrifice, we follow one who sacrificed all for us. And in that, we take our pride. In that, we find honor, the honor of serving. There are so many connecting links between celebrating Veterans Day and celebrating and lifting up Paul's mission as part of our worship, part of our God's Storyboard series. There were several significant things that always happened in Paul's mission that are relevant for this particular weekend. As Paul was commissioned for mission, being dismounted by God from his mount that day on the way to Damascus, he was truly called and sent. Our veterans were commissioned for a purpose. They had a mission. Paul had a mission. And it was that mission that drove him and motivated him where? To all the ends of the earth. Three incredible missionary journeys all around the known world of his day. He traveled, and there were all kinds of obstacles every step of the way. He fought through being shipwrecked and through beatings and through being thrown into jail, and ultimately he paid the ultimate sacrifice with his own life because of the mission. Paul, in his own words, said this about why he had been called, those words that Nancy read for us so very well, when Paul said this, reflecting the words that Jesus had said for them. I've made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Those are God's words spoken through Paul. I've made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That's what drove him. That's what motivated him. That's where he found his camaraderie, his bond, those other followers who would have each other's backs, those people who were willing to make the sacrifice, whatever the cost, those people who found their pride and their honor in serving the mission. There are two characteristics of Paul's missionary journeys that stand out. One is that the Holy Spirit was upon them. In fact, Paul was bold to proclaim that never, ever could they have accomplished the things that they accomplished without the power of the Holy Spirit. Over and over again, he talked about how God made possible the impossible because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the second thing that Paul lifts up that is of significance from all of his missionary journeys is that he was busy equipping leaders. Every place he went, he was intentional about lifting up leaders, equipping them, training them, encouraging them, motivating them. He strategically went from place to place, planting churches, equipping, training, encouraging leaders. Every one of his letters is filled with those kinds of words, equipping words, motivating words, encouragement words for the work that God had already done through them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every letter, whether it's in Galatians or Ephesians or Philippians or Colossians or the book, the letter to the Romans, all of them. As well as what is recounted for us in the book of Acts. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, equipping leaders along the way. Bishop Eaton, whom you heard at the beginning of this message, who prayed a great prayer for our veterans today. She has just written to us about a leadership initiative. It's designed by the ELCA to be intentional about training, equipping, encouraging leaders. And they've established a fund for leaders to invest resources in the training, equipping of leaders so that more churches can be planted in the spirit of Paul's mission, so that more work can be done in the name of Christ, so that the salvation message, the light to the Gentiles, salvation proclaimed to the ends of the earth can be continued. Our own community, in fact, Good Shepherd is connected and involved, has started a mental health initiative. Why? Because there are mental health issues in our community. We remember well, do we not, that 1 week ago, as we were worshiping here, a church in Texas established an incredible tragedy. And we can argue politics as much as we want, but one of the sources was mental health issues. Mental health issues which lead to addictions, which lead to suicide, which lead to people causing harm. It's one of the issues we cannot ignore. And so we are equipping, by the power of the Holy Spirit, leaders to deal with the whole mental health issues that are pervasive in our own community as well as our country and our world. Every time we go on a mission trip, I experience these characteristics that Paul wrote about in his letters and that he told about in the book of, and that are told about in the book of Acts. And that is, things done by the Holy Spirit make the impossible possible. Over and over again on our trips to Honduras and Guatemala and Africa and other places, we have seen and witnessed things that we know were way beyond that of which we were capable. Yet by the power of the Holy Spirit, incredible things happened, and people either grew in faith or came to faith because of the work of the Holy Spirit, way beyond our ability and our capability. And along the way, each and every step of the way, God has given us the opportunity to encourage and to empower and to equip leaders, so that the work of the church could continue and that more churches can be planted. Next weekend, here at Good Shepherd, our ninth grade students are going to be involved in a Delta retreat. It's like a Christ Renews His Parish weekend for students. And God has already equipped many student leaders who are older than ninth grade and many adult leaders to work with them. And the power of the Holy Spirit will be upon that group, I know, because I've seen it year after year after year. Every time there's been a Delta retreat, every time there's been a CHIRP retreat, every time we have seen the Holy Spirit accomplishing more than we ever could accomplish. Pray for those students next weekend as they encounter Christ through the Delta retreat. And as they do, pray also for the leaders that God will lift up. The leaders who have already been called and the leaders who will come from that training and that equipping next weekend. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It was really the marching orders for Paul at the beginning of his missionary journeys. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Paul was to have remained in Jerusalem until he got those marching orders. And when he did, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he went to the ends of the earth proclaiming the message of salvation. Why is that important? Because there are big challenges in our community, in our country, and in our world. Our world is desperately in need of the salvation message of Jesus Christ. Why is this important? Because there are big goals of having all people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why is this important? Because even today, 60 to 70% of our Naperville and surrounding area community is still unchurched. We have a mission field in our own backyard. We have a mission field in our country. We have a mission field in our whole world. Listen again to these words that Nancy read for us. And there's two significant things that happened here that I want you to listen for. One is that many believe and accept Christ. The other is many reject and do not accept. As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. When the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue by the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. When Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were anointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread throughout the whole region, but the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet to protest against them and went on to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They went undaunted. We celebrate Veterans Day today because the veterans who served our country well went undaunted in the face of great opposition. We remember Paul's missionary journey today because he went undaunted in the face of great opposition. He was opposed wherever he went. But wherever he went, the Holy Spirit also empowered oh so many people to believe and to follow Christ. That's why the words of the Great Commission are so important. It sets the context for why we worship in freedom today. It's so important for us to hear these words again and to notice that when the people saw Jesus, some of them worshiped and some of them doubted. So too is the truth of our world today. And yet Jesus proclaimed in the midst of faith and doubt, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember this, I am with you always to the very end of the age." One of the reasons that I love serving with Feed My Starving Children is because of the way in which they allow the Holy Spirit to work in accomplishing their goals. Each and every year, Feed My Starving Children, perhaps in the same spirit as loaves and fishes, each and every year they set their goals based on things that are impossible, made possible by God. Every year they increase the number of meals that they will package and deliver by the millions, each and every year. And each and every year their leader, Mark Crea, says, folks, this is an on your knees in prayer type goal because we do not have the resources, we do not have the people, we do not have what it takes yet to accomplish the goal. But with God, all things are possible. God, whom we worship, makes possible the things that are impossible. And each and every year, they have not only met but exceeded their goal. Why is that important? Because as Mark Crea would say, empty stomachs have no ears. We feed the children so that they do not starve to death. And we feed the children so that they can live to see their next birthday here on earth. And by hearing the word of God as they receive the meals, so they can receive eternal life by believing in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Yes, we are in the business of delivering food. We're also in the business of delivering faith by God's grace, by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And along the way, they have continued to lift up leaders to make the work go farther and farther every year. Today, as we are worshiping here in the sanctuary, right now, in their Sunday school rooms, their Sparks rooms, our kids are writing notes of encouragement to our missionaries. They're writing to the Ranieris, they're writing to the Schuberts, they're writing to church leaders in Honduras and Guatemala and Africa. Why? Because in the same spirit as Paul wrote letters of encouragement as part of his mission, we are training and equipping our young leaders to be what it means to be a missionary, what it means to encourage those who are out on the battlefront, the spiritual battlegrounds, what it means to be part of the process of being part of Paul's mission, our mission, the work that God has called us to, just as God called Paul, just as God called Christ, just as God called our veterans. And so this day, as I think about our veterans here at Good Shepherd, this day I remember my dad, who was a veteran. This day I remember his great-grandson, Remy, whom he had in his mind's eye. This day I remember the calling and commissioning of the Apostle Paul. This day, I remember the way in which the Apostle Paul's work, Christ's work, is being done through Feed My Starving Children. This day, I remember our missionaries on the spiritual battlegrounds. This day, I remember our little children who are writing encouraging notes to encourage them. And this day, I celebrate with you how God makes the impossible possible. Watch this video with me in that context.
What does it take to stay close to a dad who's oceans away? A box of crayons? A fleet of paper airplanes? Next door neighbor with a box and a delivery from overseas that make the distance, disappear.
As we honor our veterans today, we honor the mission to which God has commissioned each of us. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you this day for the power of the Holy Spirit that makes the impossible possible. This day, we thank you for our veterans. We thank you for our missionaries. We thank you for our leaders. This day, we thank you for the camaraderie, for the sacrifice, for the pride, and the honor that you allow us to experience as followers of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.